title on my heart, actually. And if you'll just get with me, and I believe we can get somewhere. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 18, verses number 6 through 12. There it says, "And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tablets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, 'Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, and at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, "I will smite David even to the wall with it." And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. If you'll just help me for a few minutes tonight, I'm going to preach on the calling killer. Just reach out to the Lord. Oh God, I pray that you would anoint me. I pray that you would touch the words that come out of my mouth, that you would have me to speak. That tonight, through the words that you have given to me, that somebody's life might be altered. That somebody that in a direction that they're going might be changed, oh God. I pray that you'd anoint me in your wonderful name. Amen. Something I want to point out to you tonight is that there is a killer on the loose in our churches. He lurks in the shadows and hides himself around every corner. He masks himself as inability, closed doors, imperfection, and rejection. He has taken many of a believer in his grasps, and with his jaws he has swallowed up thousands of ministries. More numerous are his killings than the infamous murderers of scandal, lust, and pride. He is not like other killers, and that he preys not only on the weak, but also the strong. He pits one against another till he has singled out his victim into an unfathomable death. He has consumed the highest of preachers and the lowest of janitors. He is no respecter of persons. He seeks all to fulfill his undying lust for blood. This killer goes by the alias, the calling killer, while his more better known name is comparison. This same darkness was the killer that consumed the calling that God had on Saul's life. At this point right here in the scripture, We get to a part where there was a great victory by Israel. And they're returning back into the city. And there's parties, there's songs and singing. And as I said earlier, they're singing, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul gets vexed in his spirit, and he's angry in this. Even though this is a victory for all of Israel. It's not just that they're pointing out David and amplifying David. But Saul said in his heart, "How can they lift up David when I am the anointed king?" Kind of what I'm wanting to tell you, that Saul was still the anointed king, even though his kingdom was going to be taken away from him. At this point, he was still the anointed king of Israel. Saul still had a calling. And comparison eventually killed that calling. The praises that the women of Israel sang to David and saying in the streets, ate Saul to death. How could they praise someone who was not the anointed king? How could they lift someone above him? Whenever they said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s, Saul took this as a personal attack on his character. As I was studying this, you could tell that this was not a personal attack on Saul. The whole point in this comparing and contrasting was merely poetry. It was not to say that David was above Saul, but it was merely just for the song. But what comparison did to Saul was it deceived him into killing his own calling, because it drove him to a point of hatred. It drove him to a point of fury where he tried to take the very life of the man that played the music for him. He tried to take the very life of the man that honored him, the man that wouldn't hurt a hair on his head. Comparison corrupts. Comparison creates a distorted reality. Comparison will take you places that you never thought you would go. It took Saul to a place where he was an attempted murderer. Saul did the things that he never thought he could possibly do. And in the end, comparison killed not only Saul, but it put him down a path that killed his whole family. Comparison, friend, has a bitter end. The tactics that comparison uses, first of all, it targets the vulnerable. The killer of comparison knew where Saul was at. Saul knew his kingdom was being taken away, and he was looking for that next successor. He was looking for the person that would come in and take away his kingdom. So comparison picked him out for that very reason. Comparison targets the isolated. Comparison will run you over, will try to get you in a corner. Comparison will keep you from going to church. Comparison will keep you from attending revival. Why? Because he wants you alone. You are easier to pick off when you are not with the church body. You are easier to pick off when you do not have the full armor of God surrounding you. Comparison wants you and your calling dead. Comparison not only targets the isolated, but it targets the isolated and the hurting. Comparison will target the ones from a broken home. It'll tell you you're worthless and there's no point in attending church. Look at you. Your daddy left, your mommy left. There's no reason to go to church because everybody else is going to leave. Look at brother so-and-so. He has a mom. He has a dad. Look at brother so-and-so. Their parents aren't addicted to drugs. I'm going to tell you right now that comparison picks on the hurting. But comparison does not just pick on the hurting. Comparison picks on the ones who think they are comfortable where they are. Comparison will tell the preacher that he will never be like this other preacher. Comparison will tell the singer that you're never going to get as good as the person up here singing the altar calls. Comparison targets whoever the person lets them target. Comparison will target the one with a sin problem, the one that's trying to on that progress of sanctification, and they'll tell them, you've gone too far, you've run too far from grace. God cannot use you. And with these tactics, comparison will try to kill the calling. Comparison will target the one who feels rejected. The one who walked into a church service and maybe nobody greeted him. Maybe nobody walked up and said hi. They'll say, look at this other person that was greeted. The greeters walked up to them and smiled and shook their hand. You might as well leave, because comparison will tell them, don't keep going. Go ahead and give up. But no, all comparison is doing is what he does best, and that is killing a potential calling of God. Another tool of comparison is deceit. Comparison likes to disguise itself as inability. You might as well not accept the call to preach, because you will never preach like Brother Jarvis. You might as well just turn around and hock in and walk right out the doors, because God will never use you the way he uses Brother Jarvis. You might as well give up on piano lessons, because God's never going to use you the way he uses Sister Jarvis. You are totally incapable. That's what comparison will try to do. And why is comparison trying to do this again? Because he is trying to keep you from a calling of God on your life. Young person, young preacher, I don't know who you are, but he is trying to keep you from the call of God on your life. You'll never play the drums like Seth. You might as well give up. You'll never sing in the choir like Jonathan can sing. You might as well give up. You'll never testify like Sister Peggy Gilpin. You might as well give up. You'll never be filled with the Holy Ghost like Brother Gilpin. You might as well give up. You'll never run the aisles like you, Dad. You might as well give up. Comparison is trying to kill somebody's calling. Comparison will disguise itself as rejection. Nobody wants you here anyway. Why come to church if we don't want you here? Go on. Leave. Comparison will get in your ear. They wouldn't miss you if you were gone. The pastor's got it out to get you. He's calling out your sins when he preaches. You might as well leave. The pastor knows what you're doing on the weekends. You might as well leave. Because comparison is trying to halter somebody from their calling. If you try to sing in the choir, they're going to reject you. If you announce your calling to preach, nobody will believe you. If you run, everybody will think that you're just doing it for attention. If you raise your hands, people will look at you weird. What is comparison trying to do? It's trying to keep you from your calling. Comparison likes to disguise itself as imperfection or unsanctification. You have gone too far. God no longer has a work for you. Look at what you've done. God can't use someone as bad as you. You know what you did. You might as well give up. And again, I'm going to repeat it over and over again. But what is comparison trying to do? It has disguised itself to a point where it can get to your calling. You are called of God, and you're letting a serial killer of depression, a serial killer of comparison, grab what God has for your life, and you're going to let him strangle it. You're going to let him run away with it. No, no, no. Comparison cannot have my calling. Comparison will not have your calling. We're going to stand up against it. Another tactic of comparison is charm. Comparison will act like your conscience. Comparison will act like your friend. Eventually, the only voice you hear will be the voice of the killer comparison. Where is the voice of the Lord? All I see is my imperfection. All I see is my pain. All I see is my heartache. Where is the voice of the Lord? Oh, there's a well-known story of a lady who had a boa constrictor or a python as her pet, and she would let this snake sleep in the bed with her. And she realized over weeks that it had stopped eating and it had cuddled up to her at night and it was hanging around her more. And she began to do her research and she began to look some things up. And what she found out was that charm, that friend, was starving itself to consume her. That is what the comparison in your mind is trying to do to you. It is starving itself so that it can consume you and your calling, so that it can consume you and the work that God has for your life. Maybe you're going to be a preacher. Maybe you're going to be a door greeter. Maybe you're just going to be a lay preacher or a member in the church. Maybe you're going to be a youth member that God sets on fire. But I'm here to tell you right now that comparison will keep you from your calling. Comparison's favorite strike or favorite killing method is strangulation. He will kill you so slowly that you don't notice it. It's kind of like the illustration of the boiling frog. You put the frog in the water and you slowly turn up the heat and it never notices it until it's too late. It's the same thing with comparison. Before you realize it, it's already over. And once comparison has killed the calling, he will not be quiet about it. Comparison will roam the streets with your body, with the body of your calling, saying, look what I killed. This young man used to be a preacher. This young man used to be a singer. This young woman used to be a singer. They used to go to youth group. They were filled with the Holy Ghost at youth camp. They ran the bus route. They went and picked up children. But look what I did to their calling. Look at me. It's the same thing as a serial killer. They all want popularity. They want their name out there so that people know what they did. Comparison is no different in that it wants people to know what it took from you and what it took from the calling of God. Because if comparison has its way, you will die. First Samuel 17:44-47. It's just the chapter before my text. Right here is a character in the Bible who knew how to defeat comparison. And this character had every right to fall to comparison. It's the very same story, just a little bit earlier. This is whenever David is up against Goliath in the valley. And verse number 44 says, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth might know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. For the battle is the Lord's." I may not be able to preach like Brother Jarvis. I may not be able to sing like Jonathan or play the piano like Sister Jarvis. But the battle is not mine. Comparison, get out of here, because the battle is the Lord's. That's how you're going to fight the mind battles that would tell you that you're not enough. The mind battles that would like to consume you, that would like to strangle you. The battle is the Lord's. David destroyed comparison, not by relying on himself, not by relying on swords and spears, but by relying on the Lord. Again, you may feel untalented, but the battle's the Lord's. You may feel worthless, but the battle's the Lord's. You may feel like you've gone too far, but the battle's the Lord's. You may feel insignificant, but the battle's the Lord's. All of those weapons that comparison has used against you, with one weapon, you can throw them all out the back door and say, "No, no, no, the battle is the Lord's." All your weapons are destroyed, and my calling is intact. It doesn't matter if you're just a church janitor or just a church member, or it doesn't matter if you're a preacher or a pastor, a youth pastor, the sound person, a door greeter, or just part of the youth group. Comparison cannot and will not have your calling if you call on the name of the Lord. Do not let it kill your calling. There's an illustration that I heard the other day. I've used it before, but not here. There's a Japanese general by the name of Sun Tzu. And what he would do when he's major chapter in The Art of War. What he would do was, when he was attacking another army, he said that if I can get in their heads, the battle is already won. And what he would do with his army was he would put chariots and sleds on the back of his horses. He would give each of his men multiple torches. And as they would approach the enemy would get so scared that they would just hike and run away, because they'd run these sleds through dry and dusty areas, and it looked like millions and millions of soldiers were about to attack them. But it was all a sham, because if you've got the Lord, it doesn't matter how big the enemy may look, because our God's going to be bigger than insecurities. Our God is bigger than inability. My God is bigger than the weapons that comparison would like to use. I'm not going to lose my calling, because the battle belongs to the Lord. Jarvis, I don't know if you want me to make an altar call or not. I guess I will. Sister Jarvis, if you could come on and play the piano. I don't know what anybody in here's been struggling with. But I know there's a lot of people, young people, old people alike, that have precious callings on their lives. Your calling might be a door greeter. Your calling might be to run a bus ministry. Your calling might be to preach or to sing or to just evangelize when you're out on the streets in your day-to-day life. But that calling is precious. And now we know how to fight comparison when it comes to control your calling. Because the battle belongs to the Lord. And if you've got Him on your side, it doesn't matter how big the problem is. It doesn't matter how insecure or insignificant you may feel. But God can use you. If you've been struggling and comparison, that killer is snapping at your heels. I invite you down to this altar. You're a part of this church body. We need you. We want you here. Nobody's going to reject you or cast you out because you are a part of the church. You are a part of the body of Christ. I'll give that calling one more time. If nobody comes, I'll just hand it over to Brother Jarvis.